The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can we personally apply the Old Testament promises, or do only New Testament promises apply today? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got a question, you can reach us by email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's get right to today's question. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to mention that we have a regional conference coming up, St. Louis, Missouri, and that's October 21st-ish, whatever that Friday and Saturday is. I'll be there along with Lucas and Ken. When you support our ministry, you're supporting a growing international ministry where we're trying to reach. Where does Ken go? Ken and his daughter, Catherine, they go to
Zambia.
Yeah.
They go to Kenya, Seoul, South Korea.
Oh, yeah. And they've gone to Belize before.
They've been to Belize, Costa Rica. They travel around lots of places.
So we want to be expanding that, reaching people. I mean, one of the biggest challenges is getting these books to Africa because it's not as easy as you think. It's basically like paying like an extra plane ticket just for the books, first of all. Right, because it's really expensive to fly luggage to Africa.
Well, if you ship it, it's extremely expensive. So it turns out it's cheaper for them to take an extra bag, and this extra bag has a weight limit of 50 pounds or 60 pounds. But whatever it is, that's $200.
Yeah.
But we have people who donate money specifically for that.
Yeah.
People are exceedingly generous, and they want to see that these people in other countries have free grace books.
Yeah, these pastors. And
because
whatnot.
A lot of these pastors don't have a theological library at all.
No, not at all. Ken and Catherine are doing a great job doing that, establishing ongoing relationships with these schools. And we're just excited because although there's a lot of resistance to the grace message, a lot of people, I think a lot of Africans just kind of come with a default work salvation view or a default you can lose your salvation view. But when they hear the grace message and they really grab a hold of it and believe it, they get really excited about it.
Well, let me say, and I know we haven't even gotten to a question yet, but let me say what you just said is not just true of the continent of Africa.
Yeah.
It's true pretty much of all of Europe and all of Asia. For example, I have friends who are with Biblical Education by Extension, and I have another friend who is a pastor, and he's done ministry in Myanmar before.
Right.
Myanmar is in Asia. I understand that in China, for example, if you speak on eternal security, you get an extremely negative response. In fact, the people may not invite you back again.
And that is nuts to me because I would have thought, you know, Watchman Nee, the famous Chinese evangelist and church planter in his local church movement, Watchman Nee was extremely strong on eternal security. I would have thought the house church movement in China would have been solid on eternal security.
I would think the same thing. And the pastor friend of mine that went to Myanmar, he was talking to Campus Crusade for Christ staff from Eastern Europe. All of them believed it was vital to believe and teach that you can lose your salvation.
Oh, man.
And he finally, in the course of 2 weeks, won them over, and now they couldn't believe that they ever believed the other way.
Well, and so that's the type of work that needs to be supported. We need to get the grace message over there. I mean, I have...
And that, by the way, that's also true in South America.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because with Roman Catholicism and Pentecostalism.
It's also true in North America.
Yes, it is. It's a little bit more normal, at least among Baptists, I guess. But man, listen, grace really is amazing. Grace is not God giving you a chance to hold on to your salvation if you can keep it. That's not grace. The grace message is Jesus did 100% of the work, so you have to do 0%, and you can simply believe in him for a life that cannot be lost. You will never thirst, never hunger, never be cast away, never be snatched away, never be condemned. You are secure.
Right.
Right.
And once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life, guess what you have? Everlasting life. Dr. Ryrie liked to say, if everlasting life could be lost, it's got the wrong name.
Right. So we are a little ministry, but we do a lot of ministry.
The truth is, if you share the message of everlasting life, you're having a big ministry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but you need to be clear on the grace message. And
right.
so, you know, that's kind of our biggest rule, right?
Right.
Let's just get clear on the grace message. Let's refine our thinking here. And just this morning, someone told me, oh, I've talked to you once saved, always saved people lots of times. And it's just crazy to me that all it would take is just to say one sinner's prayer and then you're good to go forever, no matter what you say. And I was like, well, hold on right there. We are not saved by saying a sinner's prayer.
Right.
It's by faith apart from works, including prayer. The only condition to be saved is to believe. So even people who think they've heard the once saved, always saved message probably haven't.
Right.
You know, and so it's kind of our job to clarify things. Are we done with our spiel? Can we get to a question here?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's get to some
questions.
But it
was fun. We went all around the world.
We did go all around the world. Well, actually, here's an example of how we can reach people from around the world. This is a question from Lyndall from Perth, Western Australia. And Lyndall asks, can we take comfort in Old Testament scriptures as promises also for us, such as Isaiah 41:13? For the Lord my God will hold my right hand, saying to me, fear not, I will help you. Or Psalm 46:1-2, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore I will not fear. Or does only the New Testament apply to us?
Well, that is a great question, Lindahl, and I actually spent about 10 days in Perth about 18 years ago or so. I spoke at two churches in Perth while I was there, and Western Australia is one of the states of Australia.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful place. I would love to visit again, but this is a phenomenal question. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture mm-hmm. is God-breathed or inspired by God, and it's profitable.
Right.
So every single verse in the Bible, even lists of names, it's all profitable if
right.
we understand it correctly. We need to understand that the Old Testament is applied and applicable today. But you have to understand the principle that's being taught. The same is true even in the New Testament. We can't just pick up the New Testament and say this was written for people in the 21st century.
Right.
We need to realize that it was written to people who were in a certain culture, a certain time, and we need to apply it by recognizing that we're not exactly the same as these people.
Yeah.
Now, we are in the church age just like they were in the church age, so that makes it a lot easier.
Right. Here's an example. In the Old Testament, God promises David that he is going to have a seed on the throne forever.
Right.
What would be an incorrect application of that promise?
That would be to say that each of us are going to have a child who's yeah. going to become the king of the world.
Yes. Here's another one. God ordered Noah to build the ark. What would be an incorrect application?
We're
of
all going out buying a
yeah,
lot of
buying
wood.
Buying a lot of lumber. All right. So that's not how you appropriate the promises of the Old Testament, for example, to yourself. However, what would be a correct application of those kinds
okay.
of verses?
For example, when you have Noah and the ark, the lesson is if we obey God, then God fulfills his promises to those who obey. So
right.
in their case, they were to build the ark and to live righteously, and if so, they were going to be in the ark. There were, in my opinion, plenty of born-again people who died in the flood, but only 8 born-again people were in the ark, and they were not only born-again, but they were righteous people because Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
Right.
And for 120 years, he was calling people to be righteous and to join him in the ark.
Right.
And yet there were only 8 people. And so the application would be today that we are called to be a set-apart people and to obey God.
Right.
And if we do, God is going to deliver us from the calamities that fall on the unbelieving world.
Yeah.
Not from all calamity, of course.
Sure.
But, for example, we're going to be raptured from the tribulation if we're alive at the time of Christ's return.
Right.
And the wrath of God, Romans 1:18-32, does not fall upon believers who are walking in fellowship with God, that is. It only falls upon believers if we, too, are suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, Romans 1. The point here would be, for example, Isaiah 41, fear not, I will help you, or Psalm 46:1-2, he's a present help in time of need. Those are principles that directly are repeated in the New Testament.
Right.
And so those can be applied directly because they're restated. But let's say, for example, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by name humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their nation.
Yeah.
That's not a promise for every nation.
No, that's a promise for Israel.
You
can't say that's a promise for America.
Now, I think you could probably say that if 100% of the people in the United States humbled themselves and prayed, then God would heal our nation. I think you could probably say, on application of that, that even if the vast majority of people in America, but what you couldn't say is, if the church humbles itself and prays, then the people in that country are going to be delivered.
Like if a check comes in that's written to Bob Wilkin, I can't take it and deposit it.
That's exactly right.
But, I mean, one way I think about this is when God makes a promise, it reveals something about his character.
Right.
And that's just true of God.
And it's also true of the commands. For example, if God says, don't eat pork and don't eat shrimp, the application is not today that we don't eat those things. The application is, you shall be holy as I am holy.
Right.
We're called to be separated people. And so the application of the dietary laws is that we separate ourselves from the world. So we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed.
Right. A famous verse is where God promises Israel, and he says, I have, you know, I know the plans that I have for you.
Right.
Now, that's for Israel. But what I get from that is God does have a plan.
Right.
And so things are not in chaos. Things are not random. God is working towards his goals, and he's going to achieve those goals. Now, do I know what those goals are for myself, the way God revealed them for what he was going to do for Israel? No. There's no book of Sean in the Bible to say what's going to happen. There is, and
Sean.
I've looked several times, but I do trust that God has a plan. So I guess the short answer to Lindell's question is you have to just use common sense in applying these promises the way you would apply any promise that anyone would make. If I promise Bob to do something, Lindell, don't take that as a promise that I will do it also for you. You have to just read it in context.
But it tells you something about the character of the one making the promise.
It does.
And that we can depend on that person, that he will fulfill the promises he makes to us.
Right. And some promises are for everyone. For example, if you want to get a magazine for free, just go to faithland.org and you can subscribe and you can get our newsletter in your email or a blog in your email. You're invited to do that. Keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org from whatever part of the world you're in.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to talk about some of the challenges that seeker-sensitive churches face. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.